Our first lesson this morning from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for the word of God. When you have come into the land that the Lord our God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take one of the first of all fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord our God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord our God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord our God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to his ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hands and sets it down before the altar of the Lord our God, you shall make this response before the Lord our God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us and imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. And the Lord heard our voice and saw our afflictions, our toils, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into the place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruits of the ground to you, O Lord, that you have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord our God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate all of the bounty that the Lord our God has given to you and your house. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is from Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. Listen for the word of God. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scriptures say, "No one who believes in him shall be put to shame." For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. And the same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel passage comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. The context of it is that Jesus had just been baptized by John, and before he begins his public ministry, he goes off into the wilderness, and he prays, and as we'll read, is tempted by the devil. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered them, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today is the first Sunday during Lent. Lent is that 40-day period, excluding Sundays, that lead us to Easter and the resurrection. It doesn't include Sundays because Sundays are considered resurrection days. But it is a journey of when we are to examine ourselves and invite God to be at work in our lives, especially revealing to us our sins so that we might confess them and repent. Now, 40 is an important number in the Bible, and it describes the time in between, and with the end of it being God's glorious conclusion or God's gracious conclusion. And we see the 40 with Noah, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. With Moses, he was on Mount Sinai receiving the law from God for 40 days. The Hebrews, while they were in the wilderness, they sent the spies out to spy out Canaan to see the land that God had promised them. And they were gone for 40 days. When they came back, they said, "Oh, the land is great, it's wonderful." But 10 of them said, "The people are too big, too strong. We can't go there." And 2 said, "Well, the God will give it to us, so let's go." But the people listened to the 10. And so they spent the next 40 years in the wilderness. Jonah preached to Nineveh and said, "In 40 days, God is going to bring his judgment upon you." And during those 40 days, the people of Nineveh repented. And God did not bring judgment. Over and over, 40 days, we see the 40 days. And in our lesson today, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness to be tempted. Lent is a time that we should be made a little uncomfortable. And yet, too often, we don't like that. We feel safe and secure, and we like our routine, and we don't like to be challenged. And yet, Lent should be that time of being challenged, of God speaking to us, the Holy Spirit nudging us to do something new, something different. And so we need to be careful to listen so we don't miss out what God might be calling us to do. In our gospel lesson, we see Jesus going into the wilderness to prepare for his public ministry, to prepare on what he was called to do. And during this time, he's being tempted to do something else, to lose that focus that he should be focusing on. Over and over this happens. And each time he's tempted, he responds with, "It is written," and he quotes from the scriptures. And so that first temptation, Jesus has fasted these 40 days. He's hungry. And the devil says, "If you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Eat it." In other words, see your wants as needs and fulfill your needs. But Jesus says, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone." Then the devil takes him and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, "These belong to me, but I'll give them to you if you'll but bow down and worship me." And here he's turning falsehood, making falsehoods into truth. Because in reality, the devil does not own all those kingdoms. We're told that one day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But Jesus says, it is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil takes him up to the top of the temple. Says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Because he says that an angel will rescue you. An angel will not even let you brush your foot up against a stone. Prove that you're the Son of God to yourself and to all the people that would see. And so the devil's trying to take distrust and make it look like faith. And Jesus says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Throughout each of these temptations, Jesus is staying focused on who he is and what his purpose is and what his calling is. For he had come to preach the kingdom of God. He has come to take followers, disciples, and train them and prepare them to take his message throughout the whole world. And finally, he has come that he might die on behalf of humanity. And Jesus stays focused on his calling and his purpose. He stays, keeps his eyes always on what he is there to do. Yesterday we had a session retreat. And I showed a video to the session, a TED Talk by Simon Sinek. And he talks about what great leaders do as opposed to other people. And he drew three circles. He drew a big circle, then an inner circle, and then even a smaller circle within that. And he said that our circle is the what that we do. The middle circle is the how we do it. And the inner circle is the why we do it. And most leaders, most organizations begin with the what. This is what we do. This is what we make. This is what we provide. This is the service we give. And then they may go to the how and say, this is how we do it. Do you want it? And they rarely get to the why. But Simon Sinek said, great leaders start with the why. This is why we exist. This is what our passion is. This is what we are about. And oh, by the way, this is what we do. And so, as a session, we talked about why do we do church? Why are we here? Why did you get up on this cold morning and have to bundle up and come to church? Why are you here? What is your passion? What is it about this place that would bring you here? If we were trying to tell about our church to someone else, and if we were to do it the way most folks do it, beginning with the what and working our way in, it might go something like this. I'd like to invite you to my church. You know, we're a great church, and our purpose statement is to live in love like Christ. And we do that with dynamic worship, loving and caring relationships, and spiritual wholeness, and meaningful mission, and effective outreach. Want to come? Whereas the person that starts with the why, they might say something more like this. Jesus came to start a grand movement of transforming lives and transforming the world. And he has called people to join in the work that he is doing. And we in our church, the Presbyterian Church of Easton, we want to follow this Jesus. And we want to be about changing the world. And we do this by living and loving like Christ. And we play that out through dynamic worship, loving and caring relationships, spiritual wholeness, meaningful mission and effective outreach. Would you like to come and join us? See the difference between the two? One just tells us what we do. The other tells why we do it. What is going on with in our hearts and our passion that leads us to be a part of this church? We see the what and the why played out in our Old Testament reading. In that reading, the people are preparing to move into the land that God has promised them. They're going in and they're going to conquer it. And they're told that when they get in and when they plant their crops, when the crops come to harvest, they are taking the first fruit of those crops and take it to the place where God will dwell and offer them up to God. That's the what they're to do. But it doesn't stop there. It goes into the why they do it. And when you do this, you say to the priest, my ancestor is a wandering Aramean, speaking of Abraham, one that God has called to be his people, that he would make a great nation of. And this God led us into Egypt. But over a period of time, as we grew into a large number of people, we were enslaved. But God dramatically and miraculously brought us out of Egypt and is giving us this land. And this is our story. This is who we are. And because of this, we offer our gifts. And because of this, we celebrate the giving of our gifts. That's the why. We're going to try something a little different when we do our offering today. That maybe say, oh, we're going to do it like that. So be prepared for that. But the why keeps our faith alive and living, as opposed to just ritual, meaningless ritual. Our Romans passage says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus has been risen from the dead and you confess with your lips that he is Lord, you will be saved. Belief and confession. What you believe, why you believe it. A few months ago, you might recall I did handed out a little slip of paper and had you fill it out. One of the questions was, what would I do for God if I were not afraid? And a large number of you wrote down, I would be more vocal about my faith. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. We are afraid of doing that. We don't feel comfortable speaking about our faith. So one of the things we said at our session retreat was, we want to help folks with that. And so what we want to do, we'll probably do this sometime after Easter, is we want to get folks together and have them share your faith story. Do it in a place that's a safe environment. You know, you're doing it with your friends from the church. You're doing this with people that share a common belief, common values, who aren't going to make fun of you, but will encourage you in how you share your faith. And then maybe, just maybe, as we get comfortable saying what we believe, saying why we believe, we might be willing to share it with someone outside the church. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So now we start our Lenten journey. Our journey to the cross and to Easter. And it is my hope that we will step outside of our comfort zone a little bit that we will spend time to really ask ourselves, why are we part of this church? And not give it easy, quick answers, but to dive in deeper. Why am I really here? And then maybe move to the what do I hope to get out of here? What do I hope will be the result of my being part of this church? Where I hope we come out is where we say, I want to love God better. I want to love others better. I want to care for the poor, the needy, the outcast, the least in society. I want to see my faith grow and become stronger, where I can tell others of why I believe, why Jesus is Lord of my life. So let us begin this Lenten journey, and let us see where God may take us and how God might work with us. Will you pray with me? For each year, we make this Lenten journey to the cross and to Easter. And this year, we ask that you might work in our lives in a very special way. Reveal to us the why we should be followers of Jesus, why we should be part of this church. Help us to be open to the leading of your Holy Spirit. To have ears that listen to that small, still voice that you are using to speak to us. And then let us be a church that you can use to make a positive difference in our community and in our world. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the one who stayed focused in his mission, his purpose, his calling, and who invites us to do the same. Amen. Amen.